Thanks for listening to the ministry of Pastor Brad Smith, lead pastor of Woodward First Assembly of God, located in Woodward, Oklahoma. Let's go live right now into the sanctuary where Pastor Brad Smith is about to deliver a fresh word from heaven.
Well, grab your smartphone, or if you're in your living room with your family tonight, grab your Bible, and I want to look at John chapter 11. Just a couple of quick verses, then I'll pull these into context for us tonight. John chapter 11, verse number 25 through 27. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Jesus is speaking to Mary and Martha. Lazarus had died. Jesus is on the way to go and see the situation at the tomb of Lazarus. And later we know that there's the miracle of the resurrection. But I want to give you a couple of verses that precede that. John 11, verse 25 through 27. It says, "And Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die.' And then Jesus asked the question, 'Do you believe this?' And she said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world.'" One more time. Heavenly Father, thank you for those that are watching tonight. I pray you would speak, penetrate through these airwaves right now into the very recesses of their soul. Speak to their hearts, Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that if there are people that are away from you tonight, that you would draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good evening, everybody. We want to continue kind of talking on this series that we've been talking about over the last couple weeks on Wednesday nights, entitled Say What? And we've been looking at the hard sayings of Scripture. Well, over the last few weeks, we've actually tackled several things that have been kind of standout-ish, if you will. But tonight, I wanted to tackle something that really stood out to me this week, especially with watching the news and everything that's going on. Tonight, I wanted to talk to you about death. You see, specifically, I want to talk to you about escaping death. If you look at the news and everything going on right now with social distancing, and several states and cities have ordered this stay-at-home order where you're not allowed to go out because they want to flatten the curve of this virus that is coming to our nation, or rather that is here already. And the thing is because what you're hearing over and over again is about the mortality rate, the death rate. And when you begin to talk about death, it makes people become face to face with the frailty of life. Multiple times in Scripture, over and over again, people like Solomon, people like David, people like the Apostle Paul tell us that our life is like a vapor. It's here today, gone tomorrow. The Bible says, Jesus even goes on to say that when we plan, we ought not to swear that we'll do this or that. We ought to say, if it be the Lord's will, because who knows what tomorrow holds. So while we plan and prepare, we put our life in God's hands. But there's one thing that I know for certain, that Christian people should not fear death. When we think of death, we think of cemeteries, and we think of funerals, and we think of these ravenous diseases like cancer and other things that literally take people's life. Or to some people, maybe it's the fear of drowning. Maybe it's the fear of being burnt in a fire that encapsulates them. Or maybe you live in a constant fear, like many people in our nation right now, of not having enough and not having the ability to provide for your family. I want to encourage you tonight with these words. There is hope. Because no matter what we go through in life as a believer, we have hope in Christ. He is the resurrection and he is the life. But yet, all of us are faced with this stark reality that death is staring us in the face. Matter of fact, all of us, there's a clock that's racing. None of us know when it is, but there's a clock that's racing thanks to our forefathers named Adam and Eve. But what we also know is that the Bible tells us that death is inevitable. You see, I'm not a statistician. Many of you have been hearing stats all throughout the week on this percentage of numbers of people, well, of this age and that age. But here's a stat that I know is true. 10 out of 10 people experience physical death. Whether or not you're young, old, it has no discriminatory value at all. Rich people die, poor people die, black people die, white people die, Chinese people die, African American people die, and many people throughout the world, people groups who've never been found, die. But see, this actually concludes, or correlates rather, with the book of Hebrews, because the Hebrews writer says in Hebrews 9:27, listen to what he says. He says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment." You see, when we look at this passage in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, he literally says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. But the problem is, if you take Scripture just plainly at its face value, we are slapped face to face with an apparent conflict. Because here the Hebrews writer tells us that it's appointed to man once to die, and then Jesus, over in our passage in John chapter 11, actually tells us that whoever believes in me will never die. And then he asks them, do you believe this? So the question is, who do we believe? Do we believe Jesus, or do we believe the writer of Hebrews? I want to suppose to you tonight, both of them are correct. So let's look in our scripture a little bit and kind of gather some insight and see exactly what is happening. In John chapter 11, Jesus is proving once again who he is, but the rabbis, and this is not in the Bible, it's rabbinical teaching, the rabbis taught that there would be four messianic miracles, and one of them was to raise somebody from the dead who had been dead longer than 3 days. And so Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days, at the point to where he had been stinking, rotting, he's wrapped up in grave clothes, and it looks like there's no hope. You see, our passage actually tells us that Jesus delayed his coming. How many of you that are listening to me tonight ever felt like God didn't show up when you needed him to? He didn't show up on that job. He didn't show up in that marriage situation. He didn't show up in that accident or with that loved one in that ICU room. But can I tell you tonight that while it may look like to us God is late, he's never late. He's always on time. And in the case of Lazarus, Jesus is there on purpose because he wanted to get glory out of the situation. Can I tell you tonight, whether it's the coronavirus or whether it's a hurricane or whether or not it's some other famine that's going on in the world, I personally believe that in this dispensation that we live in, the dispensation of grace, God doesn't cause these things. The Bible says plainly that he's the author of good gifts. Everything that comes down from above is perfect, and it comes from the Father of lights. But yet, even in this fallen world, with everything going on around us, although God doesn't cause it, he oftentimes will use it. See, that's the great thing about God. He never wastes opportunities for us to learn. You know, when life's difficulties come in all of our lives, the first question we should ask is, what can I learn from this? What can I learn from this? So when I think about the character of God, and when I look at all of these things going around, I find out that he is always on time. You see, when Lazarus needed resurrection, Jesus had already planned to come raise him. When man would fall into sin, God had already prepared from the foundation of the world to send Jesus as a lamb who was already slain. You see, before there was a Calvary where Jesus would be crucified, there was a tree planted in provision. God always is one step ahead. But see, as we're walking through this passage, it seemed like Lazarus was dead. He was in the tomb. He was sealed up. People were mourning his death. And now here comes Jesus. And Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." And the Bible says that he came forth both bound hand and foot, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." And then Lazarus then became an instant living testimony of Jesus' resurrection power. Now I have to ask the question tonight, why did Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead? Was it simply because his sisters were mourning? Was it simply because he was a friend of Christ? Matter of fact, the Bible does say that Jesus wept while he was at the tomb of Lazarus. I want to put something into your thought tonight and let you think about something a little bit different. I've heard people say that Jesus wept because he was sad that his friend died. I've heard people use that particular passage to say that it's okay to grieve and be sad because Jesus was grieving and sad. Well, I do believe that Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities and he understands our emotions. I don't believe Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus because he was sad that his friend died. I believe Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus because of the unbelief of the people. He had preached over and over again that he was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and his people kept on absolutely just forgetting what he was saying, persecuting him, ultimately leading to his future death. But in this particular instance, Jesus was showing his power over death. That's why in John chapter 11, Jesus tells her, "I am the resurrection and the life." You know, as I was studying about this, there are a couple things that came to light as I was looking at this that I think will be a great deal of understanding to you. The first thing is I want to look at the origin of death. The origin of death. I want you to consider this with me. God never intended for Adam and Eve to die. That's why the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was put there. It was put there and the tree of life so that they could have perpetual eternity. Matter of fact, the reason why when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says in the book of Genesis that God put an angel to guard the tree of life. I don't know if you've ever read that, but the reason why God did that and didn't allow them to eat of it anymore is because had Adam and Eve eaten of the tree of life in a sinful state, they would have lived forever. And God's plan was never for man to live in a perpetual state of sin. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned and ate the tree, ate of the fruit of the tree in the garden, so here's what happened. God told them, he said, all of these trees you can eat from, but this one I don't want you to eat from. And there was a serpent, Lucifer, who at some time in eternity past had already fallen and was there in the form of a serpent. He tempts them and says, if you eat of this tree, you'll be like God, and God is keeping something from you. God is trying to hold understanding back from you. And he tells her, he says, if you eat this, you won't die. So she began to think, and she ate, and then she gave some to her husband. And something interesting, Adam and Eve did not die. Adam, the scripture records that he was 900 and something years old before he died. So let me ask you a question. Was God a liar? God said not to eat of that tree or they would die. Is God a liar? The answer is no. The origin of death came from the Garden of Eden. It was perpetuated by the lie of Satan. And what happened is at that moment, although they did not physically die, there was spiritual separation from God. Which leads me to my next point. It is the dual nature of death. See, so many of us think about death and we think about that body lying in the casket. We think about our loved one who maybe some of you have had somebody cremated, or maybe they burned in a fire, or maybe they were lost in the Navy in the sea and there's no body. But when we think of death, we think solely of physical death. But can I tell you tonight that physical death is not the most important death? All of us are going to face physical death unless Jesus comes in the resurrection first, which, if I might interject, is totally possible, and I'm looking for that day. But the truth is that there's a dual nature when it comes to death. There is physical death. That's when our lungs stop breathing, our heart stops beating, our blood stops flowing, and our chin falls down to a lifeless chest, and they take our body and they put it in a box, or for some people who are into cremation, into an incinerator, and they get rid of the body, and then they have a funeral. Then the preacher says something about your life, and then your family goes into the fellowship hall and eats fried chicken. That's what they do in the South. That's what happens, and we think about death in that way. Then we think of the grieving process of mourning the loss of a loved one or somebody that maybe we had taken for granted. Or one thing that always catches me at funerals is it puts me face to face with my own mortality, that one day I'm going to be in the same situation. But as I mentioned, The most important thing is not physical death. It's this other thing that we have to deal with. See, in Hebrews chapter 9, when he said it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment, he's speaking about physical death. He's speaking about this body as we know it, cursed with sin, will stop being useful, and our spirit and our soul will go on to eternity, either heaven or hell, whichever one we've made that reservation at. But when Jesus is speaking in John chapter 11 and he says, whoever believes in me will never die, Jesus is not talking about obviously physical death, because other scripture and life experience kind of just nullifies that argument. But Jesus is talking about spiritual death. Now I want you to think about this. Those who are believers in Christ will never die spiritually. What does that mean? That means that the moment that we step out of this body is nothing but a vehicle. It is an earth suit for us to live and do the work of God on this earth. That's why we ought to take care of it. That's why we ought to get enough sleep. That's why we ought to be, you know, preventative when it comes to things about our health. Because on this earth, aside from the miracle of healing, which we believe in, this is the only body that you get. But when we step out of this body, the Bible talks about our spirit going to be with the Lord, and at the resurrection of Christ, we get a new heavenly spiritual body. So those who are believers in Christ live forever. But what does the Bible say about this terrible second death for those who don't know Christ? It's actually quite terrible when you read at it. Here a while back, I did a 6-month teaching on the book of Revelation, all the way through from chapter 1 to chapter 22. And we learned a lot of things that were in this book. But I want you to mark this down in your Bible, and I want you to see it with me. Revelation chapter 20. The Bible tells us that after the tribulation period, there's a 7-year period on earth where all hell breaks loose. There's the reign of the Antichrist. There's plagues and famines. Listen, the things that we're experiencing right now are nothing. The Bible tells us these days are prophesied. Matthew 24 says they're the beginnings of sorrows. They are the birth pains of what's to come. We've not seen anything like the book of Daniel or the book of Revelation tell us will happen. But after the church is raptured out of here, which I believe is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 4, what we're going to find is that there's this time of 7 years on earth, and then after this 7 years, Jesus comes down and he establishes his kingdom. And the Bible says for 1,000 years we're going to rule and reign with Christ. And at the end of this 1,000 years, we get ready to be ushered into the millennial kingdom. Eternal kingdom, which we know as heaven. John writes in Revelation 21, he says, behold, I saw New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And we see a new heaven and a new earth, and there's a place where he wipes away the sorrow and tears from their eyes. What a wonderful place for those of us who know Christ. But what does the Bible say about people who don't know Jesus? That's what's important. And I want to show that to you in Revelation chapter 20. So in Revelation 20 verse 11, here's what John wrote and he saw as he was gazing into the prophetic future. He said, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and all of heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works and the things which were written in the books. Then I want you to notice verse 13. It says, then the sea gave up their dead that were in it. Death and hell were delivered up. They delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. And then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's spiritual death. Then he says, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See, I want to bring you back to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, where the Hebrews writer says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. What judgment? What that means is that when we slip out of our assignment on this life, those who are alive in Christ, who are blood-bought, who are washed in the Spirit, who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and He is going to reward us based on the things that we've done. This is not a heaven or hell judgment. We're already believers. We're sealed. We are destined for the throne. But then the Bible speaks of a judgment after this 1,000 years for those who were not resurrected, those who are dead, but they are dead in their sin. And the Bible says that when these books are opened up and these judgments happen, whoever's name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life is cast into this eternal place called the Lake of Fire. But the specific thing that's interesting to me, friend, listen to me, is the Bible says that this is the second death. Here's the great mystery that we see as I look at it in the Bible. Man is born with a sinful nature. Because of Adam and Eve, the DNA that once was perfect, that it came from God, now has been marred with sinful DNA passed down from the bloodline of our father. That's the significance of Jesus being born of a virgin. Because had he been born of an earthly father, he would have had that sin bloodline come down through his life. But he was conceived from the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus was perfect. Now, there's another thing that I want you to see from this particular angle. When a person lives life and they die in sin, notice this, they're born once, but yet they experience death twice, two times. They're born of the womb once, and then they experience spiritual death. Well, friend, that doesn't sound like a good opportunity to me. But yet the Bible gives us some hope. In John chapter 3, there's a man by the name of Nicodemus who is a Pharisee. He comes to Jesus by night, and he begins to ask him, "Good master, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus starts talking to him like he always does about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus makes this prolific statement. He says, "Unless a man is born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God." And then he says, "How is it that I can go back," Nicodemus asked, "into my mother's womb after I've already been born and I'm old?" Think about it. He was thinking very literal. We don't know how old Nicodemus was, but he was imagining going back into the birth canal of his mother. How funny. But Jesus said, no, that's not what I'm speaking about. He said, unless you're born of the water, that's natural birth. Then he says, unless you're born of the Spirit, that's spiritual birth, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. So here's what I want to give you tonight as we get ready to close this message. Listen to this very carefully. If you're only born once and you die in sin, you die twice. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. So you're born naturally, then you're born from above supernaturally. If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once. Somebody say, thank God. That's pretty awesome. So that brings me into my next thought. What about this plan of life that God has for us? You see, God's original plan wasn't death and it wasn't separation. It was union and eternal life. The very thing that Jesus accomplished when he died upon the cross was to make a bridge between heaven and earth so that you and I can be right with God. The Bible calls that righteousness. The Bible says that we've been made right with God. Our sin has been blotted away. When God looks at us, he does not see our sin. He sees the blood of his precious Son. Then what we also see is that now we have eternal life. People say, well, doesn't eternal life start when I die and go to heaven? No, eternal life starts the moment that you become born from above and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. See, Jesus wants you to have eternal life. Matter of fact, I believe God wants you to have a very prosperous, blessed life. Consider John chapter 10, verse 10. The Bible says, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Why did I want to talk about escaping death tonight? Obviously, I wasn't talking about physical death because all of us, unless Jesus comes, are going to face this physical death of the body. But I'm talking about spiritual death. And friend, I might be listening to somebody tonight who is dealing with their relationship with God, and maybe you haven't been to church in a long time. Let me tell you something. A relationship with God is not about going to church. Now, should we go to church? Yes, the Bible talks about coming together with other believers and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But listen, this building right now, this sanctuary, Jesus didn't die for brick and mortar. Jesus died for the souls of men. And so listen, you are very valuable to God. And maybe you've walked away from Him. Maybe you have wasted the years of your life. But here's the thing. We serve a God who can redeem your life from the very pit of destruction. So I don't know where you're watching me from. Maybe you're in an ICU room. Maybe you're alone in your house. Maybe you are at work. Maybe you're quarantined somewhere and you're thinking, what in the world is going on? Let me tell you something. Even though the world may be saying death, 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 you can still have hope because Jesus came that you might have life. And Jesus is the resurrection. So no matter what you're going through, Jesus is the answer. So I want to take a moment tonight to pray for those of you who may be watching me. And you say, Pastor Brad, I'm struggling with this idea of death. I just don't know how I'm going to do all of these things. Let me encourage you tonight to allow Jesus to come into your life. Because the God of the universe, who created the stars and He knows them by number, He knows the hairs on your head, or if you're like me, the lack thereof. God knows who you are. He's not forsaken you. He's not left you. You say, Pastor Brad, I feel so alone. Let me tell you something. It is not about a feeling. I thank God for the feelings and sometimes how you can feel His presence and you can feel His touch. But you know what the Bible says? We base our experience with God off of the Word of God and the truth of His Word and not off of feelings. And here's what the Bible says. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Tonight, I don't care what you've done. Maybe you're a believer who, like the prodigal son, chose to leave the comforts of the Father's house, His protection, His provision, His prosperity, and you left to go sow wild oats out into the world. I believe today's the day where you're coming to your senses. I believe today is the day where you're going to wake up and say, why don't I arise and go back to my Father's house? Or maybe you're an atheist, an agnostic, and you've sat here and you've said, well, I don't believe in God. Well, let me ask you a question then. If you don't believe in God so much, why do you fight everything about Him? In fact, why are you watching this broadcast tonight? Maybe the Spirit of God is tugging upon your heart right now. And here's my prayer, that right now in your living room, that the Spirit of God would speak to you and minister to you in a powerful way. Matter of fact, there's somebody watching me tonight. You call yourself an atheist because you prayed for your grandmother and she didn't get healed. And you said, a God that would do that to me must not be real. Let me tell you something. The Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord, but those things which are revealed belong to us. I want to encourage you to do this tonight. Don't let what you don't understand about God cloud what you do. You can't figure Him out. His ways are beyond understanding. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. But here's what I know. He is good. He is true. He is faithful. He is righteous. And He is right there where you are right now. So I would encourage you to surrender your life to Him. Sir, ma'am, listen to me. It's time to get off of the prescription medicine. It's time to put the alcohol bottle down. It's time to get rid of the pornography and the things that you've been using to fill the voids in your life. Because listen, like the woman at the well, nobody can do you like Jesus. He will give you water that will quench your thirst for eternity. Come to Him tonight. Bow your head and close your eyes with me. I want to invite you to say a prayer with me. Listen, there's no magic in me saying the prayer. But listen, maybe you don't know how to pray. Can I tell you, all prayer is communicating with God just like you would talk to a friend. But here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, very simply. That if we would confess with our mouth, it's important to confess. If you confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus. And we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. It says you will be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Let me give you a real simple illustration tonight. I can sit here and say, I believe in God. I believe in God. Let me give you revelation. The Bible says even the demons believe and tremble. When the Bible talks about believe on the Lord and you shall be saved, the word literally means to believe on and put your faith in. You see, it's one thing to say, I believe that God will save me. But there's another thing to believe that he really will do it. I heard it said one time about a man who jumped out of an airplane. You see, it's one thing to jump out of an airplane. There's another thing to jump out with a parachute. And listen, when I jump out with that parachute, my faith is that when I pull this cord, this parachute is going to get me to a safe landing. It's like a chair. You can say, I believe in the chair. I believe in this chair. I believe it's here. I can see it. But you know what? Your real faith in that chair is when you allow it to carry your weight. And that's what God wants you to do tonight, to confess with your mouth and believe. So pray with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I believe that you died on a cross after you lived a sinless life. And because you were the Son of God, you rose again on the third day. Your blood was put on the mercy seat of heaven. And tonight, I confess you as my Lord. And I ask you, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, cleanse me of my unrighteousness, and I ask you to make me a son and daughter of God. And tonight I pray, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to walk upright. Make me a new creation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I want to encourage you, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we want you to respond in our chat. We want you to send us a note on our church Facebook page. Go on our app and send us a contact. We'll get you a Bible. If you need to know about water baptism, we want to baptize you. We'll baptize you anytime, okay? We can do that. Even now, we may not can have 10, but it only takes 2 people to baptize. We want you to get baptized and obey God in your relationship with him. Hey, once again, we want to say thank you for joining us tonight. We want to encourage you, tune in same time for our full worship team Sunday morning at 10:30. And I've got a word from God that I believe will bless your heart. One more time before we get off, I want to encourage you, hit that share button. And we know that this broadcast has ministered to you. It's going to be archived. You can go back and listen to it later. We know it's been a blessing to you. We want to encourage you. Give on the app. You can do that. During this time, our church offices are open, limited hours on Mondays and Wednesdays, 9 to 4. Maybe you say, well, Pastor, I just like to give by check. Well, you can do that Mondays and Wednesdays, 9 to 4. And we want to encourage you to be faithful. Let me pray for you one more time before we close this broadcast. I want to pray God's blessing upon your week. And before I do, I want to encourage you with this final thought. We can choose to see the glass half full, or we can choose to see it half empty. I know that this world seems to be going crazy right now, but do you know what I also see? I see parents that have been so busy now have to spend time with their kids. I see family Bible studies in living rooms. I see people taking a much needed rest. So don't waste the opportunities. We don't know how long it'll last. We believe everything is coming back to normal very quickly, but let's enjoy the pause right now. Jesus, I thank you for every person watching. Lord, I pray for the most peaceful night of sleep tonight that they've ever experienced. Lord, I pray for their jobs, those that are facing these uncertain times. Lord, I thank you that your word says that when we put you first, that you always order everything in our lives. And Lord, because we prioritize you, we know that everything else is lining up perfectly in our life. God, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to give mercy and compassion. Lord, I pray for anybody sick right now, heart problems, diabetes. God, blindness in the left eye, anything going on right now, we thank you for your healing power to touch them in Jesus' name. Do you receive that tonight? God bless you. We're glad you're here. See you next time in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. To give to this ministry, visit woodwardfirstag.org and simply click the gift tab. We sincerely believe that today's message has been divinely inspired of the Holy Spirit, and because of that, you will soon reap a bountiful harvest. God bless, and thank you once again for listening to today's podcast.